Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to this episode of Golfers Doing Things, the podcast. My guest today is comedian Jay Larson. If you're not familiar with Jay, he's a hilarious stand-up comedian. You can check out his special right now. It's called Me Being Me. You can just watch it on YouTube. So it's so funny, man. Check that out. He's also the executive producer of The Connor Moore Show on the Golf Channel. And he's been on Conan, I think, like 6 or 7 times. So he's super funny. He's also a good golfer. And I really hope you enjoy this episode. All right. Peace.
Hello. Oh, hello.
Hey, Jay Larson. How are you?
Oh, hello. Jake Adams. Hello. Dude, who else is rocking a Larry Johnson Charlotte Hornets jersey, huh?
It's actually Muggsy Bowes.
Is that Muggs?
Yeah, yeah.
What was LJ was number 2?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. That's about my extent
Morning
of knowledge.
Morning was 33.
Oh, wow. You really know sports.
I know sports very well.
Yeah. We've like had jobs in sports before.
Yeah. But like, that was also my heyday. Like, that's when like you're in like late high school, early college, and that's all you do is like pay attention to sports, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Larry Johnson, the grandma of this house, dude. You don't remember that. He used to do these Nike commercials where he'd dress up as grandmama and like just throw down nasty dunks.
Really?
Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I remember the mean green guy. Is that your time? That's before your time.
How can you be younger than me and then quote things before my time? Mean Joe Green?
Yeah, yeah.
Like from the Steelers?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I just thought we were referencing like old sports dudes.
Listen, we're not. I love it's like we established it like it's been going on for like 25 minutes. And you're like, oh, wait, but that's not what we're doing? You just went from like, hey, now we just started this conversation. Imagine if we were 30 minutes ahead right now and we'd be talking about Mean Joe Green.
Yeah, I mean, what other references do I have?
Do you just not know other sports outside of golf?
I mean, I've been very much consumed by golf recently, but I watch basketball, yeah. But not like, yeah, you know. Right now.
Here's the deal. We never had cable as a kid.
Yeah.
And there was no
really?
ESPN.
You didn't have cable?
No.
By choice. Did your parents have a microwave?
We were late to that microwave game.
Huh. Yeah.
And we never had call waiting.
My stepmom came through and then got rid of the microwave. It was a tough moment.
What do you mean? You had one and then she came like,
she came
nah.
in hot.
What was her deal?
She turned the stove on.
Oh, she was like, this is not good for you and stuff?
Yeah. I mean, great lady. Love her a lot.
Yeah.
But it took a while to cook things.
Yeah, I know. I don't have a microwave here. And I like got to make sausages like that you can microwave in a minute. I just got to put them in the frying pan. But I don't care.
Yeah. But as a dad, if I may speak on it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's more fulfilling to cook something in a stove than a microwave.
Oh, well, like I cook like every single... Dude, I make waffles from scratch, bro. You know what I mean?
I got the
waffle maker, yeah.
I mean, that's just not like... That's not crazy to do.
No, but most people just get like Lego, Eggo waffles and then pop them in the oven. You know what I mean? And I was like, nah, we're going straight up.
Yeah, but you like building things and making stuff.
I love it. Hold on. Back to why I'm so into like sports. I don't watch it anymore, really. I do now, but like for the last 6 years, I used to watch every football game. Like I would work for NFL and have to like report on every game. But then once I had kids, I was like, no, I want to spend my Sunday with my kids and I don't want to be that dad. It's on in the background and you're not engaged. So like, but when I was a kid, there was no cable and there was no ESPN. But we could get the newspaper and I was like a box score junkie.
Oh,
so
really?
Like when I was in elementary school, I would get up, grab the paper and like check out every box score before I'd even go to school.
So are you gambling a lot?
Yeah, I was heavy in debt in fifth grade. I mean, I was just like, I owed money all over town. No, but I did go through a gambling phase. But no, I loved looking at the box score like for basketball, right?
Yeah.
Points, rebounds, assists, sure. But I loved seeing like who had blocks, who had steals. Like I love those like intangibles, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then for baseball, I would always go in, did anyone hit a home run? First of all, did we win? Second of all, did anyone hit a home run? Then I would check, I would go down to the pitching stats. I'm like, how many strikeouts did he have? In how many innings? What's his ERA still? How many pitches did he throw? Like, if they threw over 100 pitches,
right.
You know what I mean? The deeper into the game, you know? And then I would, like, hockey, I would just check goals and assists. I wasn't really a hockey fan. Football, it got into, like, you know, picks, touchdowns, obviously yards and all that kind of stuff. But like, I just love box scores. So even now, I'll watch ESPN and be on ESPN.com. And while I'm like seeing highlights, I'm going through the box score being like, oh, what did they do? I'm like, oh man, he did that amount. how did he get 80 yards on 7 touches? And like, oh, he had a 60-yard run and, you know, stuff
but
like
I just
that.
Don't understand. Like, if you're not gambling currently, what do you do with this information?
I just love it.
Yeah.
Just like, take you it could in. Ask me right now. I can tell you that DJ LeMahieu is leading the major leagues in hitting.
Yeah, I don't even know who DJ LeMahieu
is. He plays for the Yankees. But I can't tell you. Like, I know, I kind of know who's in, like, first and who's going to the playoffs in baseball. I can tell you that Shane Bieber has the most quality starts and the most wins and the best ERA in Major League. You know what I mean? Because right. I just look at when I'm bored or I'm watching something, I'll be on ESPN. And I'm just like, oh, who's leading it? And then I'll look at it and I'm like, oh, how long has he been in the league? Mm-hmm. And then I'll look at like Yu Darvish. That guy's been around for a while. How many wins does he have? And like, oh, he only has 100 wins. I'm like, is 100 wins good when you're putting it up against 300 wins to get in the Hall of Fame? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you look at like stud guys and like, oh, he only has 260 wins. He should still be in the Hall. But you don't care about any of this shit.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of toned out there. But all I know is that the
you
Reds...
You toned out? Yeah. Dude, I'm going to tone out for a minute. What does that mean exactly? It just means like...
Yeah, no, I just... The Red Sox started a shit start. And then, like, I heard, like, another team in the MLB just, like, couldn't play because of Corona. So I'm like, oh, it's not even a full... No, not everybody's playing.
They're only
like,
playing a 60-game season. Yeah. But, my dude, the Sox pulled up this kid. So... Like the other day, like they're horrible. I can't tell you one starting pitcher except for Nathan Eovaldi. And okay. Then this kid.
I feel like that's even a really great pull of a reference.
I don't know how they signed that guy at it. Anyway, this kid came up the other day. I never saw his name, and I saw that they won in a shutout. And then, like, mm-hmm. he pitched 5 innings and struck out 7 dudes, no runs, let up 2 hits. Then he pitched again the other night, threw another shutout. And I'm like, oh, okay. So it's like they're rebuilding. Everyone's like, suck. I'm like, I don't care. I like watching them rebuild. You know, everyone's got to rebuild.
Huh. Yeah, yeah.
I like stats. I don't know. I've always liked math and numbers, so I just associate it with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I love a good rebuilding year. My senior year of high school, my every single team I was on, they're like, all right, guys, it's a rebuilding year.
And you're like, yeah, but I'm a senior. Let's play for today.
I got so mad at, like, the first intro meeting when the coach said that.
What sport?
That was for hockey.
Oh, yeah. You played hockey?
Yeah, goalie. No big deal.
That's not a big deal. No, it's not at all. There's nothing like, about
I didn't,
that.
I didn't really want
that
to
that is
it
a
up.
Big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never played hockey, but.
Got it, yeah. But yeah, you've had like a bunch of jobs within comedy and sports. You really made a lane for yourself, among other things, you know? But,
yeah.
You know? But so is this your.
I got to tell you, dude.
What's up?
I'm just impressed with your interviewing skills. It's unmatched. Unmatched, dude.
Yeah, you like what's happening? Really?
Have
smooth.
You ever thought about a job like for like 60 minutes? Or so? I mean, this is fucking really good shit.
I got like one question at a time that I can really focus on.
Listen,
and to get to the next one,
I could see you just like having like Mitch McConnell, like, sorry, man, I toned out for a second there. what were you saying about breaking down the Senate again? What was that? yeah, man.
What, do you want to do another follow-up on stats? Would that really get you going on this
podcast?
Yeah,
get a follow-up question. Now, what is it about numbers? Yeah, you know, man, I love sports, and I came to L.A. to write. I came to L.A. to write and act, and I was just a sports head, and I would, like, golf all the time. Like, when I first moved here, I probably was, like, a 15 handicap, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't know anyone.
That's probably pretty accurate, too. Like, most people would go down and when they moved to L.A. to be like, oh, I'm actually this.
Yeah.
But I think I played with you after that, and you were better than a 15.
I'm like a 7 now.
Yeah.
But, like, when I got here, I didn't know anybody. You know what I mean? I knew one kid I went to high school with and, like, a strange cousin. So all I would do every day is I got a job,
mm-hmm.
and I would golf. I played Griffith Park all the time.
Really?
I got my member card. And I play Rancho and Griffith, and I just, like, golf, you know?
Yeah.
And
it's not the worst way to spend your days.
Oh, my
especially
God.
Especially as an actor, because there's just, like, so much time in the day.
Well, you're not an actor then.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that was the thing. My cousin Christine, this is a note to anyone that's going to move to any city. She was like, the first 6 months you're in L.A., just do the only thing you should do, Jay. And I was like, yeah. She's like, get a job and then just learn the city. Learn it. Drive around. Go places. Like, adventure out. So I would, like, I lived in Hollywood. I'd go to the beach. I'd drive to Pasadena. She goes, because you know what happens to most people when they move here to be an actor? They move here. They get headshots. They get in a class. They try to get auditions. And then when they realize in 6 months that it's going to take you 15 years to get to a point that you're satisfied, you're not going to know anyone. You're not going to know any place. And then you're going to leave. That's why you see so many people come here and leave. Come, leave, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was all golf.
Yeah, and especially because, like, then you just have to redo all of your headshots after, like, you have any sort of value in the industry. Like, nobody uses the same headshot that you first got when you came here. And then, like, people don't even respect you until you've been here for a certain amount of time, unless you come in already with the thing.
Yeah. Do you know how dumb I am? My first set of headshots, I had a cold sore, and I still went through with it. I'm like, yeah, we could touch it up, right? They're like, yeah. We never touched it up. I sent out headshots with a cold sore.
Yeah, well, that's a very specific demographic of commercials you could go for.
What's he looking to do, a Valtrex spot? I don't even know what Valtrex is.
Okay, so cut to present day.
Yeah. Man, you really want to skip over that 20 years, huh? You're like, this is, nah, man, it's how I interview. You know what I mean? I start, you know, in the past, and then I get right to it. Gotta get right to it.
I mean, yeah, I really get to the juice of the interview here.
No, I know. Your skills are unmatched, dude. Unmatched.
I'm starting to sweat.
Yeah, good, good. I got you near the window, you know?
Okay, so... Actually, maybe I guess we should talk about the other sports jobs you had leading up into the golf sports job you have currently.
Yeah, so that was a thing. Like, I don't know how I fell into, like, I just, you know, once you're in the business for a while. So then I was, like, doing stand-up, and I got a couple, didn't really get acting work, but I had, like, commercials and done, like, TV stand-up stuff. You get to meet people, and then all of a sudden people start, like, oh, you're into sports? And, like, yeah, you know? And then they're like, oh. And the first thing I got was... I don't know how I got the interview. Oh, my manager, she was at this management company that rep Tom Arnold. And Tom Arnold was going to do a improvised behind-the-scenes Best Damn Sports Show, you know what I mean? Like scripted hybrid kind of thing.
Okay.
And Fox Sports was going to pay for it. Yeah. And I got cast in it. And we improvised the whole thing. And it came out like shit.
Do you just know in the moment?
Oh, I mean, it was just... No, I was just so excited to do something.
Right.
And then Fox Sports was paying for it, and we shot it in a weekend. And they were like, you know, if we scripted this and actually had, like, a way to go, this could go really well. And they had this one guy to write it, and they were... I said, hey, man, if you want any help, I would love to be involved. And they're like, we can get you... You want to co-write it with Joel? And I was like, yeah. And so they let me, like, co-write it, and we shot it again.
Really?
Yeah. And it was still terrible.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, still terrible. I guess. I felt good about it, but it was terrible. And once, like, I built a rapport with the EP who, like, made it, he was like, hey, man, we got this job opening up. We want someone to run the Twitter account for the Fox robot. You know that robot during Fox football?
That?
Yeah.
No
for
way.
2 years, yeah.
That guy was a pretty big hit.
Oh, yeah, huge hit. No, the thing was, it was run by Fox. Any joke you'd make, like, had to be, like, clean. And it's like, how many times can you just, like... pump out jokes all day Sunday.
Yeah.
So I did that for a while.
And every time you would think of something, you would have to send it out and then you'd have to get approved?
No, I would just send it out and then I would find out if it was disapproved when they come to me and be like, you can't make fun of the church. And I was like, all right. And I delete it. And I was like, Jesus, what do you want this guy to be? And then they canceled. After 2 years, they were like, this is stupid. Everyone hates that robot anyway. So the only way to get people to like it is to be snarky and rude, which is what I was doing. And they were just like, it's just not building, you know. But anyway, I did that for 2 years and started a blog. And then, like, people realized I knew sports. And then I got offered, like...
Since we were talking numbers earlier,
yeah.
Can I ask you how much you got paid for the Fox robot job? For running the Twitter account there?
Yeah. I got paid $1,000 a week.
Oh, that's pretty good.
To
just tweet.
Tweet 5 times a day.
Okay.
And then on Sundays, I had to be, like, live the whole day, which is a fucking dream. I went over to Fox. They were like, you know, you don't have to come over here. I'm like, no, I know. Fully catered. Every game's going on. I'd sit there. Like, Usher was in there one day. You know, like, all the NFL.
He probably fucked with you because you were the Fox robot guy.
Yeah, of course, dude. You know what kind of fucking cred I was rolling with? But, like, you know, Terry Bradshaw would be in there. And, you know. But I was also still going on the road doing stand-up. You know what I mean? So I was, like, double dipping.
And getting.
No, I didn't have to go in. I could do it from the road. I could do it from home.
Yeah.
But I would normally book my flight because L.A.'s behind everybody. I would book my flight early, land at like 9, and then just roll over to the Fox lot.
What a life.
Get a bagel with cream cheese lox and capers, guy, and then sit down and watch the game.
Have yourself a day.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, that's like an ideal quarantine job as well.
Oh, God, yeah. That would be epic. And then I wrote a show for True TV that was Shaquille O'Neal. I helped write it with the other guy.
Okay.
And then I wrote, three of us wrote NBA 2K, the video game for 2018.
Right. I remember you talking to me about getting that job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was fresh. And then I did, you know, I've done a couple other things. And then, you know, the Connor Moore show.
Right. Do you get to hang out with Shaq?
I didn't. They were trying to get me to like go to. They shot it in Atlanta.
Oh yeah.
To like, you just go to be Atlanta? There. I would have. They just. I didn't make the budget. You know what I mean?
Wow, classic stuff there.
There was a head writer, guy who was writing it, and I was just there to like assist, give info, jokes, stuff like that. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got you. Okay, so I feel like we made it to present day.
He's been very supportive. History. That's Jeremy Gerolich. He's been super supportive of me since that time. Yeah.
What else has that guy done?
He wrote The Breakup.
Okay.
He wrote and directed The Wedding Ringer.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just did a movie that he directed called The Binge, which came out on Hulu like 2 weeks ago. Yeah, super nice guy. Nice guy.
I mean, that's really what it is, just meeting like a guy.
It's maybe a couple. That's all it takes.
Or woman, right?
Yeah, of course. Any man or anyone who believes in you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's tough to find people to believe in you. I mean, I know you've struggled with that mightily.
you know.
No, but seriously, it takes one person to just be like, yeah, I know what you can do, and I can be the one to help you. Jeremy's been super helpful. I'm developing a movie with him now that I'm like co-writing with someone else that Jeremy's like giving us notes on, and I hope he lets me direct it. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
That he goes, that, you know, I just directed a commercial for Callaway, so now I'm like, what's up, dude? Can I direct this movie, bro?
I actually saw that commercial. You put my buddy Ari Manis in it.
I mean, I didn't, and he was one of the weakest links in the project, yeah. Ari was not good. Why? No, he was such a nice kid, man. I like that
kid. He just
kid
doesn't
a lot.
Know how to play golf?
He didn't have to play golf. He was a friend in the cart that was like egging.
How are you bad at that?
No, he was great. I was teasing. He was great. He was so yeah, awesome. Like, everyone was a good great. Actor. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Has he acted in anything?
Yeah, his own stuff, but
yeah.
It's like enough.
Well, I have some notes for him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I never said who is the casting director on that. They picked like a bunch of these comedians.
Production company was acted as casting. You know what I mean? That was like,
yeah.
You know, some production companies have that skill set. They're like, hey, we are like tied into the comedy world. We can like fill this with comedians, and that's what we did. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's good stuff. Yeah. I guess I was out of town, so I guess I didn't get the call for that exactly.
You were. They were like, we don't want to go nose heavy. And I was like, all right, yeah, Jake is out.
Yeah, it's a lot of profile shots. I saw.
They're like, we want to tone out the.
So, yeah. So now you, I mean, this is like, as we're talking right now, the last day of your job. Being a producer, executive producer on the...
I'm a co-executive producer is my official title.
You and Andrew.
No, he's an executive producer.
Got it.
So how this works
is there another co, or do they just give you a co?
It's just the title, you know what I mean? So people understand what your role is. So I ran the writer's room, and like if there's ever... Like whenever it came down to like the script, it would like fall on me.
Yeah.
And then...
So but like if you were talking to somebody that didn't know, you would just say executive producer as a bit of a power move.
No, I would say co-EP. It's still a great title.
Okay.
Co-EP is a very...
I'm sure sometimes you've said, I'm the executive producer.
I've never said that. I haven't, no. That would be like, the offensive coordinator for the Patriots being like, yeah, I'm the head coach of the Pats. You know what I mean? They just wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
But... You know, like I would also help. I got like Bargatze on the show. Mm. I helped coordinate trying to get other people on the show. I did a shoot out here in L.A. I shot 5 shorts in L.A. I directed them all. Like, so it was great, man. It was awesome. It was super fun.
Yeah. Thanks for hooking that up. That was it was cool to do.
It was great to get you a part of it. They loved you. You know, my EP.
Yeah. Who actually I met. I was in Orlando.
And yeah. And you golf with them, right?
Two pretty wild days of golf.
How was his game? He's good, right?
Yeah, there's moments. I mean, he definitely has like a game for sure.
Wow. Okay. I mean, I'm gonna talk to him later. So.
I mean, yeah, we played two rounds of golf together.
It's all right. I get it.
He's a his heart is 100% in the game.
Oh yeah, he loves golf.
Also,
dude.
Truly a psycho. I don't know if you saw that video that he put out. I think it made it, like, he told me it was going to be on like Tosh. And did you guys use it as well? And it was him just in the rain,
yeah,
just absolutely pouring down rain at Bay Hill, and then he just hits the ball and goes, ripped it, and just fucking turned into
screamed,
a psycho.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah. Such yeah, a funny video.
He's intense.
Yeah, he's great though. I really like that guy.
Yeah, he is fantastic.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, you have created this thing within the golf industry that nobody has really done before, and it's, like, just these specific type of sketches that would play outside of just fans of golf or whatever. And it's not an easy thing to do and, like, make those funny to everybody.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hope, you know? That all started with, you know, me and Rory, you know what I mean?
Right.
So we're still trying to sell that show that we believe in heavily. Which, you know, golf is the only sport, right, that you can play just like the pros. You know what I mean? Mm. You can't go play basketball at the level of NBA players. You can't go play.
There's no pickup games at the Staples Center after the championship.
With
right?
pros. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You could go tomorrow and play winged foot.
Right.
Is it private?
No, it's public.
Public. You can go play winged foot at those conditions, play from the tips. You know what I mean? You can do the whole thing. Yeah. And it's also a sport that you're constantly, it's like you're playing just like them, you know?
Yeah.
NBA, maybe you go and maybe you play in a rec league and stuff like that, you know? Okay, sure. But golf is like you're actually, you know, there's a significant connection, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you can see on a very real basis how much worse of a golfer you are than people who do it professionally.
And there's not many sports where the course is your opponent. And yourself. You know what I mean? Like, tennis, you can't go play against yourself.
Yeah, there's really no other... What's the other sport that the actual setting is the opponent?
I don't know any.
Yeah.
Darts? I mean, darts you can play by yourself.
Yeah, but it's really still just you. Like, the board doesn't change.
The board doesn't change. Yeah. And golf is also, like, in basketball, the defense is the guy moving. And, you know what I mean? It's moving. It's constant. It's flowing. In baseball, it's like, can they get to the ball? Golf is like... Hey, I'm going to tell you everything you need to know right now. Don't hit it where this sand is. Mm-hmm. Don't hit it in front of the pin because it's going to be, you know, it's a false, whatever. And you still fuck up. They tell you everything you need to know.
Yeah.
And it's still so hard.
Yeah, it's not that easy of a game.
Yeah, it's definitely not. But it's like, God, I had a drive the other day that was just like, you ever get up to a drive and you're like, is that right? What's the card say? How much was the card? What's it say? And they're like, dude, it's 460. And you're like, I'm 90 in, dude. You know what I mean? You don't care how bad. I mean, I shot a 91 the other day, but I peppered.
Disgusting.
I know. Trust me. I mean, I hate it. Angeles National. I hate that course.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I peppered two, one 340, one like 368.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
those fairways also, they really good.
They do
out there.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. All right, so let's transition real quick into everybody's really favorite segment on this show, and it's what have you tweeted about golf.
So when you say everyone, you mean like your cousins and shit, like whoever? What is my favorite tweet?
No, I'm gonna read you things that you've tweeted about golf.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. So from August 6, 2012, you tweeted, there are three things I'm always on time for: golf, sex, and comedy. Hashtag priorities, hashtag dependable, hashtag Jay Larson delivers.
Is that real?
It was a real tweet from 2012.
That's a good tweet.
Yeah. So is that still factual?
Well, you know what it is? Yes, 100%.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what? I stole that from A River Runs Through It.
Which is that?
Have you ever seen that movie?
No.
It's so dope.
But there's three things I'm always on time for.
No, there's two things you're never late for. Oh. So it's Brad Pitt and I can't remember who else right now. But they're brothers. Anthony Hopkins is it Anthony Hopkins? No, Robert Redford does the voiceover, and it's about these kids that grew up in Montana and they fly fish.
Yeah.
You know, and they invite their sister's boyfriend to come fishing with them and he's late 'cause he was drunk the night before. And, it might not have been the brother-in-law, whatever it was. They invite this guy, and they're sitting there, and he's late. And they're like, man, there's two things you're not late for, church and fishing. And I was like, for me, there's two things I'm never late for, and it's stand up and golf, and then I threw sex in there for because I wanted to be edgy and cool, man.
Yeah, it's really cool stuff. I was also just wondering if you hashtag a lot of things. Jay Larson delivers.
No.
Oh.
I'm not a social media guru. I don't know how to make a hashtag stick. I just was probably like, oh, this is funny.
Yeah, yeah. It's a funny third hashtag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's just keep going here. Also from 2012, you tweeted, I'm actually not familiar with this reference, but even without the movie Overboard, my dream of having a mini golf course would still be played. Do you know, can you speak
on it? Yeah, of course, dude. Kurt Russell plays this guy. And he's a carpenter and he's poor. And Goldie Hawn is like a millionaire's wife. She's loaded. Or she's loaded. I don't think she's like married. She is married, but she's the one who's rich. And she falls off a yacht and loses her memory and doesn't know who she is. And Kurt Russell basically says like, oh, I'm your husband.
And, oh, yeah. I think I've seen that movie.
And then
yeah.
He builds a miniature golf course. Like that's what he always wanted to do is build a miniature golf course. And at the end of the movie, she sticks with him and they build a miniature golf course. And it's like a huge success.
The miniature golf course.
Yeah.
Huh.
Which is ironic that today I was Googling miniature golf courses near me to see if anything's open because I want to take the kids. I love mini golf.
One of the funniest things, you've done a lot of funny things, but like one time we did this show together as a panel show. And
the what?
Like it was like that thing I did with Dave Merhege. It was like you came up and like riffed on the internet. It wasn't a big success.
But I love that you always try, man. You come up with ideas and you put it out there.
Yeah, you really just got to throw a bunch of random
stuff. You do. You do.
Drive across country until maybe something sticks.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, you told me that your internet is set to Bing. And I've thought about that every day. God. And then how you just type Google into Bing.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how
to change
it.
I could change that for you.
Yeah, we'll do that before you go.
It's
thanks.
Pretty easy.
Because I've been dealing with it. That's how technologically inept I am. How long ago was that show? 4 years?
No, it was like maybe 2 years ago.
All right.
Yeah, 2 years
so
ago,
2 years I've been dealing with that.
Yeah.
And I haven't changed
it.
No,
it sucks. I've had that problem before. And then, yeah.
Bing
I
is
literally
the,
think about you every day when I type in Google, like when my computer's messed up until I figure out how to fix it.
Yeah.
All right. So do you feel like, do you know yet if the Connor Moore show is going to have a second season? Or?
I have no idea. Yeah.
Because also they're like split, right? Of like the golf channel's moving.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how that's all going to go down. I don't really know.
Yeah.
I just kind of like, I would love to do it again. You know what I mean? Let me know. I just know that Connor's going back to Europe for a while or to Ireland. So if he's going to Ireland, there's going to be no immediate answer for me, which means I got to like, go find a job, you know what I mean?
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty wild.
Yeah, it's wild.
And you haven't been able to do stand-up at all, really?
No, but I don't think I'm going to.
Yeah. Like, we should all quit.
No, but I'm serious. I don't know if I'm going to. Oh, yeah. Well, you should have quit years ago. You know, I got into this business. I came here to write and act, right?
Uh-huh.
That's why I came here. And then I fell into stand-up, like, backwards. I just fell backwards into it.
And then didn't you get JFL after, like, Just for Laughs, like, the biggest comedy festival after, like, 3 years or something like that?
Yeah, 2.5 years in.
That's insane.
But I really liked stand-up.
I sweated through an audition after 7 years.
I did one audition. And I did an audition, and, like, it was at the Improv, when the Improv was, like, just so, like, magical.
Right, yeah.
And it was one of these sets where I got up on stage, and the music was dwindling down, and I took the mic stand and moved it. And as I was taking the microphone out of the mic stand, people started laughing. And I remember going, oh, shit.
Why did they start laughing in that moment?
I'm just saying, like, the energy was there. I don't know. Like, it was just something, whatever. You know, it was just in the air. You know those sets that are just like, oh, shit. Like,
was everybody having good sets that night, or was it just, like, the way that you... I just remember
that moment, and then I had a really good set, and then, like, I went outside, and my friend... who was like in the business and a manager that was like, at that time I was like meeting with managers.
Mm-hmm.
They both came out to the street. Like I walked right off stage when I was done and walked right out to the street.
Yeah.
I'd never do that. I just walked out to the street and I was just like, what the fuck just happened? And they both came out and they were like, dude, dude. And I was like, that was great. Right. And they're like, you destroyed. So yeah, I was lucky. But what I'm saying is I've always liked stand up and mm-hmm. I was always like, even the first time I got on stage, I was very comfortable and really liked it. But I don't know if that's why I came here. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And, you know, like when I directed that Callaway commercial and I directed a bunch of shorts, like I mm-hmm. really like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, like we were talking off mic before we started about this mass exodus of people leaving L.A. And it's like it's such a weird thing because I've acted in a lot of stuff, and it's usually from people asking me. You know what I mean? I've never like had an audition, crushed, and then been booked. And I've done stand up, and it's done really well. You know what I mean? I've had some sets that have gone really well, and I've had, you know, I have one clip over 100 million views. You know, like I know I'm good at stand up.
Pretty legendary stuff there.
Yeah, but it hasn't translated into like being the thing. And I was like, well, maybe I've just been barking up the wrong tree for so many years and I should be doing other things. So part of me is like, this quarantine has been a little bit of a godsend, so I can like, and I think, I hope that everyone's kind of been treating this quarantine the same way, that like we're examining our lives a little, what's important. And the lifestyle of stand-up is you go out at night. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you know me. I love being with my kids, and I love building and doing projects, and I also write. So I don't get up at 11:30 in the afternoon.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I get up at like 6:45 or 5. Like 8 months ago when I was writing a lot, I would get up at 5, write 5 to 7, then like make lunch with the kids, get them off to school, hang out, come back, and then I'd write some more, do some stuff. And then like when you put the kids down at 8, and then they fall asleep by 8:30, and then you're like, oh, now I got to go get dressed and go in town. And it's just, I just, and then going on the road, it's just a lot, you know? And I just don't know if it's like at this point right now, it like fits what I'm trying to be in the world, you know?
Yeah.
So.
No, I mean, like I was never on the level that you were, but you know, there were some moments, but it's still just like to relate, like the pressure of not having to think about stand up ever and know that like, it's not even, I'm not losing anything by not thinking about it has been truly amazing.
That's the best thing you could say right there is you're not losing anything by not thinking about it. Because
stand-up
does that to you. You constantly are like, fuck, what am I working on? What am I going to say tonight? Am I going to say the same jokes? That, like, you have to, like, I remember I would always get, like, bummed after doing a joke for a little while. Like, even after I would do a joke, like, 6 times, I was like, all right, I guess it works. I'm not the guy who's going to, like, I'm not like Burr who's going to go home and grind that joke out and be like, how do I make it fucking hilarious? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just don't have the drive or the skill set. One of the two. You know what I mean? I would do a joke and I'm like, oh, yeah, that works. And then I'm like, all right, let's think of something else. Like and that's why I like writing on Connor's show so much, because you would write those jokes and then it'd be done. And then you're like, all right, what's next week? Let's write new stuff. So I feel like that kind of maybe suits me better. And I like directing because there's like such a team element to it, and stand up is just like, God, it's so individual. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
It's just like there's no one to rely on. Once in a while, after 19 years, you're like, I'd like to rely on someone here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, until you know, like if you start directing a lot of things, then it comes back to just being on you. I mean, other than you have people working.
Yeah,
for
but
you,
directing, but I like tangible things.
Yeah.
Stand-up is so esoteric. There's nothing you can grasp onto. You grasp onto the laugh. You know what I mean?
Right.
Directing.
Which is fleeting.
Yeah, it's, you know. But directing, you like, you see the space. You can see the setup. You can, like, see it ahead of time. You put that in place, and then you get the actors in, and then you have the material to work with. Then it's their delivery. There's, like, you're always involved in it. So it's, like, I just really like the tangibility of it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I feel you. And you've, like, done all the things as well. So, like, now you can really tell.
Done all the things, dude. What? I
no,
mean, dude.
Within stand-up, like, what else
but
can
no,
what else
let's
is there
think
to
about
do?
It. What? Well, as an interview question. Amazing. You've done all the things. Really think about that. You know? I don't know. Yeah. I mean, outside of, like, you know, when you get to a point in, like, I tried to get a special and nobody would give me a special. So then I made one.
Oh, yeah.
And then nobody would buy it. So then I put it out there for free. No promotion, and it's got almost 1 million views. And at that point, you're just like, all right, am I insane? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, nobody will wants my stuff, but 1 million people are going to watch it with no promotion. That's just people passing it to each other. So then you're just like, all right, I don't know what I can do here.
But I'm just saying the transition is
would be natural.
Yeah, because like you've done it on the highest level. I think. I mean, I don't know what else there is to do. Like, I've never even headlined for a weekend at a comedy club or like done a theater or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know. So like, if I stop now, I just like make a living off the golf industry. There'll always be that like, why did I not finish that thing or like
totally,
get to the next level?
I think it's like just
that might never happen, but it could.
No, right? You never know, and that's the thing. I look at it. I'm like, do I just want to keep doing this? What's the end goal? Even if the end goal is, getting Netflix specials and selling out theaters, it's still taking me away from what I love, which is being home at night around my kids. You know what I mean?
Right.
Now, a movie, if I'm going to direct a movie in fucking Nova Scotia for 2 months, yeah, I'll be away from my kids for 2 months. But I don't know. Anyway. Yeah.
But
yeah.
If you get like a huge Netflix special, it just brings you away from your kids more.
Yeah.
It's just like more you have to be on the road.
More nights, more road. Yeah. More all
that. You just become a Jim Gaffigan and have your kids open for you.
Is that real?
Well, he brings them on the road and like they do like the intros. They're
oh,
like,
yeah.
Next is my dad type of thing.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's kind of cute. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Okay. So we actually, it's another transition. I don't know if you want to like stop the podcast as a whole to be like, oh, be better at interviewing, like that whole shtick.
No. I don't want to do that.
Okay, cool.
I think it's pretty clear to everyone how fucking good you really are.
So we've actually done a stand-up show together at a golf event.
Yeah.
So have you done any more of those? And like, do they go okay? I've struggled. I think we talked to you about this before, but like, I've had some really bad experiences doing it at country clubs. Like, I don't ever want to do it there.
Oh, you know what? Just before the shutdown,
mm-hmm.
which is so weird. We're literally living a sci-fi movie. I started doing them with Chris Spencer. Do you know Chris?
This is third time in two days somebody's brought up his name, but I've never met him.
Chris is awesome. Baller. Yeah.
Pretty good golfer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we went out, we golfed that day, mm-hmm. and then we eat dinner at the club, and then we do a show. And he's friends with a guy who like books a tour, like a in and around LA, all these country clubs, because they need entertainment for their members.
Yeah. Well, I think Greg Fitzsimmons was telling me about the same guy. He like does all the charity things, right? Like
maybe, yeah. Yeah. I mean, Chris is like such a hard worker and such a talented dude. So I did it with him, and it went super well. And the guy who booked us was like, I got another one coming up, and it was like, I feel like it was like April 12th we were supposed to do it, and it got canceled.
Right.
And but like Chris does them like, I think often because he loves the golf, you know, and he brought two of his buddies out. One, Alex Thomas, who's a super funny comedian as well and super talented. And he was on the show with us. And then I think Sean Pulaski came out and was on the show as well, you know. And so I haven't done a ton of them, you know, but the one that we did was that corporate event for a Christmas party, which went really well.
Yeah,
and was
that
fun.
Went way better than I thought it would.
Yeah,
to be honest.
I mean, we were not. Remember, we get in there. This is classic me as wanting to be a director. We get in there, and I'm like, "Hey guys, is this where you're gonna have us perform?" And like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Nah, you got to move it over here. You got to move it here. Bring it center." They're like, "What do you mean?" But the DJ booth is gonna be here. I'm like, "Doesn't matter. You're gonna have to bring those over here." And like, "Are you sure?" I'm like, "I'm telling you right now." Remember, I was
they just
like,
"Put us in a weird corner."
Yeah, like, I'm like,
"That show
would have
been trash.
Moved." Oh, it would have been nightmare.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
You know, anytime you can do anything that has to do with golf, you just like suck it up. You're like, yeah, all right, I get to golf. All right, whatever.
Oh, really? I mean, I didn't ask you about this thing because I'm what I'm doing tomorrow for a week.
Uh-huh.
But I just assume that you have to hang out with your kids, which I don't think you would have done it.
Yeah,
is
it?
So literally tomorrow for a week, I'm going living in like a really big RV with four comedians, and we're just playing like five different golf courses.
Oh, that's
and
tight.
Just filming the whole thing.
Dude, sounds super COVID friendly. Who's going?
That comedian, Blake Weber. He's like He's like Blake Weber on Instagram. His name's Aristotle Georgeson.
Uh huh.
Griff Pippin, mm-hmm. and Mark Smalls.
Nice, dude.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
guys sound like a hip hop group.
Everybody's under like an 8 handicap, you know.
Oh,
so
that's
it should be
tight.
Some decent competition.
Who's filming it?
This company, Short Par 4, is going to film it. And yeah, they rented this RV, and yeah,
that's tight.
It's kind of like. Like fun challenges along the way. Like for example, on Wednesday we're going to Death Valley, and we're doing this thing. Yeah, it's supposed to be like hot as fuck. But also every time our team, like it's me 2-on-2 the whole trip.
Yeah.
But every time your team loses a hole, you have to take a dab of like the hottest hot sauce, like right before you tee off. And yeah, we do like dumb shit like that along the way.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like something when I was younger, I'd be like, oh yeah. Now I'm like, no, no. I have no interest.
We got some cool shit. He bought a bunch of drones for us to try to hit out of the air. And
listen, I'm not saying it's not going to be cool. I'm saying just tell me how it is.
Yeah.
I'll live through you. That's what living vicariously really is. It's things that you're like, no, I'm never going to do that. But I want to hear you tell me about it. Like you and that RV trip. You don't think I would love to go do an RV trip? Yeah, I'll probably never do it unless it's with my kids. But it's great to like follow you doing it and seeing you doing it.
Yeah.
Know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was a fun trip. I mean, I don't know what else I was supposed to be doing during that time, you know?
I mean, it's kind of like wide open right now. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So let's take a quick break because believe it or not, there's actually a sponsor on this program.
That's great.
So got to pay these green fees, baby.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And then we'll come back and we'll really dissect some golf news. Really exciting stuff, Jay. All right. Golf news. Really exciting stuff, Jay.
Yeah.
Do you watch the U.S. Open?
I watch clips.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It was tough, like, to just, like, sit and watch golf. Just, you know. But I love watching golf, but I just didn't have the chance to.
Yeah. Maybe they make, like, a robot of Bryson DeChambeau, and you can write for that.
I know.
Yeah. The guy's a
What do you think
machine.
About him? I mean.
Not great for the overall look of golfers, because, like, you don't have to have abs anymore. There was, like a 7-year window where, like, it was cool to have abs in golf,
yeah.
But that's certainly going away,
yeah.
With him, so people are just gonna like hit the gym. And
he's just so weird. It's so hard for me to like him. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's just hard.
He doesn't seem like that fun of a dude to be around.
No, he does not seem fun. But he is committed,
and you can learn so much from being around him.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, but I wouldn't like go out of my way to hang out with him. But like, I'd definitely want to play golf with him. That's kind of how I see it.
I mean, just the science. It's just too much for. I mean, I don't want to be a pro, so. But he is dedicated, man. He was out on the range Saturday night till like 8 o'clock at night,
yeah.
Working because he wanted to be in cold temperatures because of whatever the tee time was going to be or whatever.
Right.
But just the fact that he's out there, just the fact that he recreated his entire game that no one else is doing. It's not like someone started. He's like, oh, I'll try too. He fucking led the charge and did it.
Yeah.
And then won a major and won. I mean, yeah, he's interesting.
Yeah.
He's interesting. I wanted Tiger to win because I always want Tiger to win. You know what I mean? I like Wolf. I love JT.
I don't know
JT.
If Tiger will ever win another U.S. Open.
Yeah?
Yeah, just because the courses are like so wildly difficult.
Yeah.
And not that he's not very talented, but people hit it way farther than he does now.
Yeah.
And like with his back and everything, like hitting out of that rough is pretty wild.
Yeah, I bet.
So, I mean, I think he has good enough chance of anything as the Masters or maybe the British Open.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It's
interesting
take.
That's
Open.
A really good take.
Yeah. I think the first time we actually met was on a golf course. Did we meet before?
Rory, right?
Yeah, but yeah. I think there's like I was caddying at Bel Air, and like I would use that as like a platform to meet comedians that like I've always wanted to like hang out with. But
yeah.
The only way I'd be able to get them to hang out with me is if I offer them golf at Bel Air.
Yeah.
So yeah, is that the? I think that's the first time we met.
No, we didn't meet at the golf course.
Oh really?
I met you like through a show. Like Rory told me about you, and then I met you at the Improv.
Yeah.
And I had known you for a bit before you were like, "Hey, you should come golf," which was awesome. You know, like I've golfed Bel Air as a guest of a member and as a guest of you, and it was way more fun to be a guest with you than it was
really?
With the member.
Who did you play with?
I don't want to say his name. I'll tell you afterwards.
Okay.
But like,
but like, you guys probably got to take a caddy and.
You had to take a caddy, but this guy just wanted to get fucking wrecked.
Oh, really?
I mean, wrecked. And I did not want to get wrecked. You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to play Bel Air and like play it straight up. Like, you know that little secret cooler that's 3 holes in or whatever?
Secret cooler?
Yeah. You know, like in the bushes, there's that cooler that you can open up and there's beers and stuff in there.
Oh yeah, on the fourth hole.
Hole. So as soon as we get there, he's like, "You guys want a beer?" And like he loved the idea of telling us about this. And I'm like, "Oh, all right, yeah." And then we had a beer. And then like at 9, the caddies that we had that day knew like who this guy was.
Uh-huh.
And if it was within a flagstick of the hole, they would pick it up and like that's inside. What do they call it? Like caddy good or like
you know, that's just because they're trying to keep getting tipped by this guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so like, and I'm like, "No, man, I'm gonna finish up." And like they weren't even giving good reads. And then we were hitting the turn, they were like, "You guys gonna get cocktails? Should we get a cart so you can get cocktails?"
Oh my god.
Because they wanted to drive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because if the members get cocktails, then the caddies can take a cart for the cocktails and they drive.
Right. Yeah, and their back nine is way easier.
Yeah. So we got cocktails and they're getting like doubles and they're giant drinks and this guy's just getting banged up, and I was just like, "This sucks. I don't like to get banged up when I golf." You know what I mean? If I'm playing terrible, I'm like, "All right, let me get a beer or let me have a cigar, something to take the edge off to see if I can like play a little better." But I do not want to go out there, especially Bel Air,
right,
and get like destroyed.
Yeah, when you're playing an amazing course, you know,
you
want to
play
like,
the
don't
course.
Get to play all the time. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
I mean, there's moments to go out and just like, you know, have a day.
Yeah,
but
yeah. you know, like when you're spring break and with JT, Ricky, and Spieth, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, that course is amazing.
Yeah. Have you taken a lot of caddies in your life, or is that?
Yeah. I mean, I play Riviera a lot with my neighbor.
Oh, okay.
You know, yeah. So we get caddies at Riviera and caddies at Bel Air.
Is that your worst caddy experience? The one with like the guy?
It wasn't worse. It was just like, hey, this isn't what I want. And like when I have a caddy, I don't want you to just, I don't want you as a fluffer, bro. I want you to help me out. Like, let's. And there's this one caddy at Riviera that we always get who's awesome.
Yeah.
And there are some days where I'll just go. I find that if I'm not engaged in my golf, I don't play as well. So if a guy just says, this is where you want to hit it, I'm just not going to play as well. Where if I look at it with him, we walk around it, and he tells me, like, if you just give me a reading to the pin, I'm way less engaged than if I take out my gun, gun it, look at the number, like I'm seeing it through that rangefinder. Then I'm like, all right, 155. Now I'm doing. Right. Where if you just go, it's 155, then I'm like, oh, okay, 8 iron. But I don't, I'm not like engaged. So that's,
yeah, yeah,
that's more on
you
me.
You need
probably.
That info, like Bryson.
Yeah, like me and Beast, huh?
Okay, just to close this off, you may not have anything, but like completely fine. We can just stop abruptly. But yeah. Do you have any like wild stories that happened on a golf course? I just know that like. I think the first time we played, you told me a story that happened on the golf course.
I have a couple. I mean, I have a couple. One time I was golfing with these two guys I just got paired up with. Mm-hmm. And on like the sixth hole, a guy hit a bird. He hit driver and hit a bird, like this giant bird.
Oh, Jesus.
And like, no, it was the second. I don't remember, but it was close to the green. Mm-hmm. It was like 30 yards from the green where the bird was. Maybe it was a par five, second shot. And the bird like was clearly dying. You know what I mean? It was like flailing, and we like get up to it and it's flailing. I'm like, yo, this is not good. And they're like, yeah. I'm like, I'm going to call the clubhouse and tell them. So I call them like, hey, there's like a bird dying out here. Like, and they're like, oh, we have a grounds. There's a.
So did you tell the clubhouse that somebody hit the bird?
Or yeah. Like, oh, I told them what happened.
Okay.
And they're like, oh, okay, there's a, I'll tell grounds crew. And the guy happened to be like a hole over. So he just zipped right over, and we're putting. And this guy is 30 yards right over there. Behind a sand trap, beating a bird with a shovel to put it out of its misery. You know what I mean? To like take it out because it was dying. And we're trying to putt this guy. So I don't know the guy, but you know who I am. And like next hole, a guy like hit a bad shot. And I was like, should have killed that bird back there, dude. Probably wouldn't hit that bad shot. And, like, his buddy laughed, you know. Then two holes later, something else happened. I'm like, you know, if you hadn't killed that bird, maybe, you know. And then his friend came. I said it, like, three times. And his friend came over to me. He's like, hey, man, he's pretty upset about the bird. Could you lay off with the bird stuff? And I'm like, oh, yeah, dude, I'm sorry. I didn't even think about it. So that happened. Was a pretty funny one. And then another one, which being the high holiday a couple days ago.
Oh, yeah, Mazel Tov.
I mean, I'm not Jewish, but I have a lot of friends. Twice people came up to me the other day and go, are you Jewish? And I was like, no. And they're like, all right, take care. And it happened to me at Larchmont, and then it happened to me right outside my apartment. Like, people, they were like, these Jewish people were coming around, I think, you know, just celebrate to like, I don't know. And she goes, are you Jewish? And I go, no. And she goes, okay, have a good night. And I go, but I'm a human. And she just started laughing. She's like, oh my God, be well, you know. So I'm golfing this one time with my buddy Aaron, who's Palestinian.
Nobody chirps at the Jewish people going around.
Oh, yeah, I do. In a fun way. You know what I mean? This another guy came up to us and comes up, and he's got the big black brim hat.
Yeah.
And the he's in a black suit.
Yeah, he's got the sideburns going.
Everything, yeah. Uh-huh. And then like that like shawl, like scarf thing.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is.
Tell us.
Yeah, and he comes up, and I'm with a friend having coffee like out on the street. And he goes, hey, are you guys Jewish? We're like, no. And he's like, all right. And I go, are you? And he just started laughing. He goes, what gave it away? And my friend was like, your mask, you know, the mask gave it away. So anyway,
it would have given you a free menorah. That's all he's trying to do.
That's it, dude.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting to golf.
Need some free shit.
And we're playing with a twosome, me and my friend Aaron, who's Palestinian. And these two guys come up, a really old dude with a Holocaust number tattoo on his arm.
Oh boy.
And I think who was his son, who was also very old, you know.
Yeah.
And the very old gentleman comes up to me and he goes, are you Jewish? And I go, no. And he goes, ah, it's okay. And then, like, I, like, shook his hand. Like, all right, that's your hello. And then he goes to my friend, who's Palestinian. Are you Jewish? And my buddy goes, yeah, I am. And he goes, ah, good, good, good. They start talking Judaism.
Hebrew?
Palestinian. No, he's not Jewish. My friend's Palestinian.
Oh. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They start talking about the conflict. Right. You know what I mean? This guy the whole time is thinking my friend is Jewish. Now, do I think racism is good? No, I don't. Am I going to give a pass to a guy who survived the Holocaust? Yeah, I am. Do I think potentially if some Jewish people who have survived the Holocaust or any other world are maybe a little anti-Palestinians? Yeah, I do. Do I think some Palestinians are anti-Jews? Yeah, I do. Fourth hole. I'm walking up the right side of the fairway. My buddy's, him and the two older gentlemen are walking down the middle, and my buddy's veering off to the left. He pulled it. I cut it.
Okay.
And I just see him turn around and go, yeah, well, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And I'm like, oh, my God, what is happening? So I get up to where we're going to drop our bags to go putt. And I go, what the fuck's going on? He goes, Jay, this guy's racist against Palestinians. I go, well, what do you think's going on? He thinks you're Jewish. You're in the inner circle, okay? If people are going to talk shit, they're going to do it to other Jews. What do you expect? You hoodwinked him. And he goes, it doesn't mean he can be racist. I go, he survived the Holocaust. Let him do whatever the fuck he wants. What do you care? And he goes, I'm saying it's not right. It's perpetuating this. And I go, we know it's not right. But I'm sure his grandkids know it's not right. But who gives a shit? They fight from fourth hole to the seventh hole. Right? This is at Roosevelt. We're getting up on the seventh tee box, and I'm walking up there with him. And I'm like, dude, would you just stop? I mean, the guy's... He's barely alive. And he's like, I got to do something. And I go, then do something. And he turns to the guy and he goes, guess what? And the guy goes, what? He goes, I'm Palestinian. And I was like, oh, my God. Then they just start. They're not arguing. They're just talking. Like this older gentleman, he was never arguing. He was just talking passionately, you know. I'm trying to tee off, dude. Don't talk in my backswing. I don't care what the issue is. I'm trying to tee off, and I go, can you guys just shut it down for 2 seconds? I'm like, two over. And I shank my tee shot going to the front bunker there at 7. We play 8. We play 9 at the end. We're shaking hands, and the guy goes, you and I, we should have coffee someday. They never did. But it's like, how can you ever – that's a street joke. A Jew and a Palestinian,
right? Yeah, yeah.
Step onto a golf
course. But really,
golf
is could be the only platform to bring those two countries together.
No kidding. But yeah, those are the two golf stories that stick out the most.
Yeah, yeah. Those are great, man. Well, dude, thank you so much for taking a little bit of time.
You got it, buddy. I'm glad this is going so well.
Thanks. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Jay.